Blog Talk Radio.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. It's Monday. Yes, it is. It is morning. Well, it's not quite Halloween, but it's Monday. Listen, we have a big show for you this morning. Oh, my God. We have not one, not two. How about nine of the contestants from NBC's hit show, The Voice? They are here. We're going to have some more tomorrow. And we have the contestants who have made it this far in the competition, which is no easy task. And our first guest is on the line with us right now, Tim Atlas. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Janice. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Well, hey, I've got my coffee going. I know it's quite early for you. You're now on Team Pharrell Williams, originally with Team Gwen. So what has it been like? Is there a major difference between the two team leaders there, or what for you?
Oh, it's a different dynamic, you know. Pharrell is such an intelligent person. Everything that comes out of his mouth just blows your mind. And Gwen Stefani is very motherly and nurturing and just wants the best for you. And they're both special in their own way, and I'm just happy that I get to still be a part of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nobody can lose with any of these four, that's for sure. But I understand that you got your degree in photography and that you are a studio engineer with other recording artists and albums and such. Have you worked on albums or with singers that we may know, or what?
I've worked with some people that I've made a bit of a buzz on the online community. No one on the huge mainstream, you know. I'm still a struggling artist, so that's why I'm on the show to begin with. But I've worked with mostly local people, just you know, paying the bills with a very humble recording studio in my apartment.
Well, obviously, it's given you a wealth of experience to as a musician and a singer to get to where you are now. So, would you, you know,
absolutely.
This is season nine. This is season nine of The Voice. Have you been a longtime fan? Did you sit in your living room and just say, "Hey, yeah, maybe one day I should try out for that," or did somebody encourage you, or what?
Yeah, you know, the past few years, I've heard a lot of people say, "Hey, man, you should try it for The Voice. You should try it for The Voice." You know, I don't even have cable, so even when these episodes air, I have to go to my friends' houses to watch the episodes.
Oh no,
damn! I mean, it's fine. I want to be with people anyway. But you know, the show has always been on my radar, and I actually tried out a couple of years ago. I went to the open call in Las Vegas, and my mom and I made a trip out of it. We went to go see Celine Dion, you know. So, but
that's the Vegas
thing. Unfortunately, they didn't want to move forward with me at the time, and you know, I just took that with a grain of salt and kept pursuing my music. And fortunately, this opportunity came. So I'm just fortunate to even be a part of it.
So what do you think with yourself and your performance, what do you think was the main difference between the first time that you auditioned and the time and now? Do you think you're more experienced on the second go-round, or what?
Yeah, I mean, going through this process, I just think that it was just perfect timing for me, and in my artistry and in my personal life, it just made sense for me to go for it. I never felt more prepared than I do now, so it was just something that just really came at the right time.
Well, yeah, because you are here for sure. So what college did you attend? Yeah. You got your photography degree.
I attended San Jose State University in the Bay Area.
Beautiful area. Very beautiful area indeed. So I guess,
oh, my God,
right,
the
now,
weather is amazing.
Isn't it? It is. It's just, oh, my God. I don't know what to say about the weather. It's just, oh, my goodness. But I guess for now, now that the voice is airing and showing you, you're that guy from San Jose right now. Are you feeling the buzz yet from being seen on television and all?
Yeah, it's incredible, actually. Even doing my blind audition was montage, so I only got, you know, about like 15 seconds of airtime, but that 15 seconds just gave me like so much support. Everyone was like, "Oh my God, we're so excited for you!" And I'm kind of a hermit crab, so I don't go out, you know, as often. So I haven't experienced, you know, crazy fangirls or anything. But
Kim, you're only 26.
Yeah,
you gotta get out more.
I should, you know, I should step outside my room every once in a while, but yeah, the support has been incredible. I mean, everyone's just has so much pride in our area, and a lot of these people have seen me grow as, you know, from a backing guitarist to where I am today, so this is just as much of a journey for them as it is for me.
So, in watching the show, and now you're competing on the show, what do you think, what part of The Voice do you personally feel is the most challenging? Is it the duets or the knockout rounds or the blind auditions? Or what do you think for you?
That's a tough one. I think it gets progressively more difficult because they kind of let you spread your wings throughout the show. You know, for blind auditions, we have vocal coaches and we have stage choreographers and, you know, we had everyone kind of guiding us through this process. And as you go through the show, they kind of give you a little more freedom to kind of dictate what you do on stage and how you sing certain things. So I think it gets progressively more difficult throughout. I think the blind audition is probably the most nerve-wracking because all you want to do is turn those chairs, you know?
Exactly.
So,
That must be really nerve-wracking. So, you know, and I know every singer that does this show, their dream is to have all four chairs turn. I would be happy for half a chair, you know, a folding chair to turn if I was out there. But, in your case, had you mentally prepared yourself? You know, you're a great singer. I don't know. But, I mean, I know how musicians and performers, they just have that sometimes a little burst of insecurity. But had you mentally said, well, gee, what am I going to do if nobody turns? I mean, did that cross your mind?
Oh, yeah. Even the night before, I would get nervous at the thought of being on the stage. And, oh, my God, it was just such a mentally taxing situation, but in the best way possible. You know, all you can really do is get up there and do your thing. Just gotta be yourself. And fortunately, that was enough for the turn. So I'm happy.
They turned, and they are still turning. You know, you've got a great following on social media pages and such. What is this, October the 19th? What were you doing this time last year, October? What was your life like?
This time last year, I had just quit my full-time job. And I was getting ready to fall flat on my face as a full-time musician.
Oh no.
I just really wanted to, you know, pursue music, and when you love something so much like a lot of us do on the show, with music, you just kind of will do whatever it takes to make it happen. And this time last year, and until we started auditioning, that's exactly what has been driving me the whole time. So we've been doing auditions with producers since January or February. So it's been a long journey, and it's just so cool to see it all kind of unfolding right now.
Okay, well, we've lost him. Okay, we thank you, Tim, for joining us. We only got 10 minutes with each of our guests here. And so the train rolls on with, we are talking to some of the advancing singers in the season 9, this is part 1, of The Voice. And so we are so happy to have all of them on, as we do every single year that we've had the opportunity to work with The Voice. Okay, and so now we have on the line, we have our next guest. Good morning, Dustin Christensen. How are you, Dustin? Hello? Do we have Dustin? Hello, hello. Okay, we got to get Dustin on board here. Okay, do we have Dustin on the line?
Hey, how's it going?
Hello. There he is. Hi,
hello?
Dustin. How are you? Yeah.
Hey,
you
how's
here?
It going?
Jay, it's going
testing
fine.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, we got you there. We were just disconnecting from one of your colleagues there, Tim Atlas,
right,
but we
right.
got you on board. Well,
oh,
Dustin,
awesome.
You are on. Yeah, you're on Team Adam, and so I don't even have to ask you how exciting you must be to be with the great Adam Levine. So, so far, what are some of the? Can you give us some insiders of what Adam has been telling you about your performing and what have you?
Well, you know, the thing about it is, you know, everybody was always asking me like, why Blake? You know, and I would always tell them like, I thought Blake got the country side of me, and I'm this weird melting pot of like rock and roll and country, and I think Adam is the other puzzle piece to the rock and roll side, because when I do my own stuff, it's kind of walks the line of country radio, but it's kind of more in the Springsteen realm of things, and so I think Adam has been able to kind of handle that rock and roll side and understand me on that level.
Okay, so, you know, I take it that once you get out there after The Voice is done, you know, season is over, you're probably going to be one of those country rock dudes. Is that kind of correct or what?
Totally. You know, I think I think the kind of the vibe I go for is kind of in the, you know, I'm such an 80s nerd and then I love old country so much that like I think there'll be this happy medium of me doing Americana music with country and some pedal steel and then having some synth pads in there somewhere. So somewhere that's kind of walking the line of country radio. That's not exactly what mainstream is doing right now, but hopefully can find something that people like in there.
So, okay. You are one of those people who's blessed with talent, creative talent, and you're very academic. You've got an MBA in marketing, I understand. So you definitely know how to market yourself. You've got that background there. So marketing and all of that's your safety net. Are you going to ever go back to totally, you know, the business world, or are you just going to go straight with the performing all the way?
Yeah, you know, people would always be like, don't have a backup or you'll fall back on your backup, you know, and I get that argument. And it was kind of a thing that when I got my MBA degree, I kind of had to say, okay, look, I got to just pretend like I don't have an MBA degree and I got to do this because I'll never be fully happy if I'm not doing this. And so, yeah, I mean, I think I'll just only be doing music from now on. And the MBA degree on that level has helped me in music because it's helped me negotiate my publishing deal that I signed with Carnival in Nashville, and it's helped me you know, it's helped me with a number of things. So I am glad that I have it, and certainly I am using it. I'm just using it in a different way than most of these people that get it, I guess.
That's great. That is good. So now you are definitely a double force to be reckoned with here, which
right.
always helps.
Right.
Well, now, okay, so what was your journey of getting to this platform called The Voice? You know, had you tried out before? Had you tried out for other big talent shows like this or what?
No, you know, I didn't know a lot about it. I didn't really know if it was my thing, honestly. And I had the pleasure of meeting Miranda Lambert, saw me play at a show, and her and her manager and her mom were kind enough to sit and listen for a couple hours. And I hung out with them afterwards, and her manager was like, I would like to meet with you next time you're in Nashville. And I met with her a bunch, and she kept telling me, you know, you got this publishing deal and stuff. If you want to do stuff on the artist side, you really need to start thinking about one of these shows. And I was like, no, I don't think it's really my thing. And so she stopped bothering me about it. And I had so many people telling me, you got to go on The Voice. And it was the combination of her and so many people telling me to go. And then the opportunity came up, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to show up and I'm going to see what happens. And here I am. And the further I was able to do it, and the more people I was able to meet, I was like, you know, this is a really great thing. And so I'm really happy that I did.
Wow, Dusty, you mean to tell me you had Miranda Lambert and her mom at your show for a whole 2 hours? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was very nerve-wracking. I noticed that Miranda was listening, and I went on break, and I was like, okay, you got to go back, and you got to just play all your own music. Like, you can't play any covers.
Uh-huh.
And so I went back and for 2 hours just played all my own songs. And you know, Miranda and her mom and her manager kept moving seats and stuff and just sat. And pretty soon Miranda was like real close in front of me. And her assistant was like Googling. I could tell her assistant was Googling lyrics to make sure that I like see if they were my songs and stuff. So it was very nerve wracking and certainly one of the coolest experiences I've ever had, for sure.
I don't think there are very many, you know, up-and-coming aspiring singers like you that have that kind of an opportunity. It may be some, but not many. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is totally amazing.
Yeah, it was real great.
So was this in Nashville that this happened?
You know, no. It was at a resort in Deer Valley, Utah, in Park City, you know, where they do Sundance Film Festival and stuff like that. And I think she was in town for something. She was in town for like a celebrity ski thing or something. And I just happened to be playing, and it was just real circumstantial. And it just kind of happened randomly. But yeah.
That's a cool story. You should tell Blake that story sometime. I mean,
yeah. No. Yeah, for sure.
We won't go there with them, but they seem to be still good friends or such. But anyway,
definitely.
I just had to throw that in there. But anyway, so are there plans to relocate eventually to Nashville or to another, you know, major city like L.A. or New York or some Atlanta, anything like that, or what?
Yeah, maybe, you know, I think it would be Nashville if I did relocate. I'm lucky enough that my publisher, Carnival, in Nashville has they've been kind enough to let me stay in Utah. And I spend about a week and a half a month in Nashville writing songs. And then I kind of jump back and forth between L.A. and there. And Utah is just kind of my home base. And it may get to the point one day when I have to be in one or the other full time. But for right now, I kind of spend about a week and a half a month there.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, you're in a beautiful state, of course, this time of year. I know that you guys are getting gearing up for the ski season, but The Voice has taken you places. I know she's real busy, but have you gotten a tweet or anything from Miranda Lambert since she kind of encouraged you to take this route or what?
Yeah, I mean, not a tweet or anything and stuff, but you know, they've definitely been really great about, you know, I didn't actually tell them I was auditioning, and I sent her manager a text after I actually auditioned just to say, hey, thanks, thanks for, like, you know, encouraging me to do this and stuff. And they've been really great to me about it.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's probably so far the coolest story I've heard in a long time for someone who is out here doing their thing, and then to have that kind of a big boost of encouragement behind them, to have a celebrity of her status and stature to just enjoy your show like that. So, Dustin, we thank you so very much for being our guest. We've got our next guest here, Zach Seabaugh is on your call.
Yeah, tell Seabaugh, tell Zach Seabaugh hi.
I sure will. Okay, thank you so much then. Bye-bye.
Awesome. All right, see you.
Okay, we have him. Zach, hello, how are you? Oh, man, we lost Zach. Conference call operator, can we please get Zach Seabaugh back? We had some craziness happen here. I kept trying to conference Zach in so that he could say something, say hello, or to say what's going on, Dustin, or something. But anyway, our next guest is scheduled to be Zach Seabaugh on Team Blake, Marietta, Georgia. And only 16. Man, isn't that something? That kind of talent, you're already on The Voice. I don't know what to say. Okay, good morning, Zach Seabaugh. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm great, Zach. I don't know what happened. They disconnected us there. I was trying to connect you to, and Tim Christensen told me to tell you hello and good morning and all that kind of great stuff. So, hello and good morning on behalf. I mean, Tim, I'm sorry, Dustin. Dustin Christensen.
Yeah.
I had Tim on before Dustin. Yeah, anyway, Dustin told me to tell you good morning. We were trying to connect you guys together, and we lost one of you. But, Zach, you're only 16, but you've got this voice like you're like 30. Man, you're so powerful. How long have you had this big voice like that?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Lots of practice,
what,
for
eight?
Sure.
Oh, lots of practice. Okay. But you do. I mean, not only your singing voice, but your speaking voice is like, hello, I'm Zach. And you're 16,
is
really?
Is that how I sound?
Well, you sound a lot better. Oh. But, I mean, your speaking voice is just so adult-sounding and professional-sounding. And, hey, but that singing voice is whew. Okay. Let's get down to it. You have four sisters, and you are the only singer in the family. Where did all the singing come from, and how did you get started with all the singing?
I don't know. My two older sisters play college tennis, so I have – what my dad always says is, like, I have four daughters and a ballerina. But
Dad.
We did a lot of activities. We did a lot of activities growing up, definitely around sports. And we also did the church choir just because that was, I guess, a tradition in the church is, you know, do the children's choir. And I've been in the choir ever since, and it just really didn't click for my sisters. But for me, I really started to develop a passion for singing and for music. And I don't want to say I left my sisters in the dust, but they didn't carry on with music.
Well, the fact that you're on The Voice, that says kind of a lot, I would think, Zach. Don't you think? Just a bit. Just a bit.
On The Voice, it's definitely different. It's given me a very big platform to showcase my talent. And at 16 years old, it's definitely the opportunity of a lifetime. And I hope that it can open many doors after The Voice, where I could continue this country music career.
Now, 16, you're obviously still in high school. What's been the reaction from all of your colleagues and teachers and what have you back in Marietta?
Yeah, it's been – I've gotten a lot of support from the students at my school. And it's definitely different to walk out, you know, to go to a restaurant or something with your friends and stop and take a picture with somebody because they recognize you from The Voice. So that's definitely new. But as far as the students at my school go, they've been really, really supportive. of this opportunity that I've been given, and they're really excited for me. So,
well, have you gotten any like freebie stuff? You know, freebie Starbucks or freebie burgers? You know, anything like that? People are recognizing you.
I think I went to a restaurant in Atlanta one day, and my waitress recognized me, and she had came up to me and she was like, "Hey, our manager had said that you know, your meal is taken care of, and we wish you luck." So that was really cool.
Oh,
so I think that's
cool.
It. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, I know you're in that era of life, the teen years, where dating and all that is so important. So, you know, any extra pursuers, suitors, been noticing you more so than ever?
Are you talking about a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Currently, I do not have a girlfriend. No.
Oh, okay.
All the girl fans. I'm sorry?
That could change very soon.
Well,
sure.
I definitely love girls. It's just that this opportunity is something I really need to dial in on and focus on. No harsh feelings.
You're just so busy. But I have a feeling they have definitely noticed you. I can tell from your pages there.
They have definitely
taken it. I've been doing these interviews with the boys contestants for so long, ever since the show started. It's always so funny. A lot of the contestants will talk about how many marriage proposals they get through their Twitter and Facebook pages and Instagram pages. So don't be surprised if that doesn't happen to you, if it hasn't already happened back.
No,
I've
gotten Marry Me emails and messages on Facebook. And yeah, it's been
already.
It's been different, yeah.
Now, I bet that's something you were not expecting, was it?
No, well, I was, you know, people would tell me, they're like, "Oh, don't be surprised when the show airs and people, like, want to marry you and stuff." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And then I'd, you know, go to my Facebook messages, and there it is, you know, 40-year-old lady wanting to marry me.
Okay. Well, this is definitely an experience to one day tell your kids and your grandkids about, and it's documented all on YouTube and every which way you can find. But anyway, before they shut me off here, how did you keep, because I know when you guys are on The Voice, it's several months. It's not a one-time, one-day thing. How did you manage to keep all of this a secret from your friends and family members? I mean, was that hard for you or what?
Yeah, it's definitely one big secret. But, you know, having the other Voice contestants to hang out with and talk to definitely took the stress away of having to communicate with my friends and have them ask what I'm doing and stuff. So it was hard for a while, but then, you know, getting to hang out with the Voice contestants kind of takes your mind off it.
I think that would definitely do it. It would take your mind off it quite a bit. Now, where did you audition? Was it in Atlanta or Florida or somewhere else?
Yeah, I went the open calls that they host in cities every year. I found out, I think it was 2 days before, I decided to go down to Atlanta, Georgia for the open calls.
Oh, so you kind of decided at the last minute. I talked to some people. They plan on it for months. So you just kind of said, "Hey, I got nothing to do with it. I think I'll go."
Yeah, I didn't even
plan
on doing it. My friend had brought it up in math class, and I was like, "Yeah, I guess I will." And then here we are. So definitely a life changer.
So one day you're just in math class, and your friend is... "Hey, man, you should be back, man. You need to go try out for The Voice." Like, "Hey, I got some time on my hand. I think I'll go do that." And boom, here you are. Wow, that's pretty amazing, Dad.
Yeah.
It really is. It's pretty amazing. So, Do you guys have big viewing parties at your house that everybody gathers around, or how do you guys do this to watch yourself?
For my blind auditions, I had a few of my close friends come over, and we all sat around the TV and just hung out and had a good time. But no, I didn't have 1,000 people show up. So just some close friends who have been there for me throughout the whole process.
Oh, that's nice. That's very, very cool, very intimate, and you can laugh and have fun, what have you. So, Zach, before you leave, we're trying to get our next do we have Jordan Smith on the line here? Jordan, are you there?
Yes, he's
here.
Hello.
Hi, Jordan. You want
Jordan.
To say, good morning. That's Zach. We have Zach on the line. I don't think we can hear each other. Okay, we just back. Okay, Jordan, we were trying to connect you guys as fellow contestants together there. We had Zach Seabaugh there, and we were trying to connect you to say good morning. But now we have Jordan Smith, Team Adam. Jordan, we are welcoming you to Film Festival Radio all the way from Harlan, Kentucky. I've been to Louisville. I used to live in Nashville. So where exactly is Harlan, Kentucky?
Harlan is the southeastern corner of Kentucky. It's probably about 3.5-4 hours from Louisville south.
Okay. Let's just give you a little perspective there. Jordan, and I know you've obviously heard this your whole life, but you have such a unique voice that people just can't believe it's you. So has that presented a problem for you growing up or what?
Yeah, my voice is a little unexpected, I suppose. And as far as a problem growing up, I never really, I didn't really have many issues with bullying and things like that. I was a very friendly person and outgoing, and so I did my best to make, good friends, and I didn't let things like that bother me. But I did have to come to a place of self-acceptance and a place of understanding, that I was a little different, and people might not always understand that, and that they didn't mean to be offensive or anything like that when they commented on my voice or accidentally called me ma'am on the phone or anything like that. So it did take some self-acceptance, but it took a little bit, but I'm in a very good place now, and I feel confident in who I am and in myself, and I'm proud of the person that I am.
Well, I would definitely say, Jordan, you are in an excellent place. You're on The Voice. You've made it this far in the advancing rounds. That's an excellent place to be, I would think. But hey,
yeah,
I'm
so thankful for the show.
Oh, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. But you have been, to be only 21, what is this about you performed at a presidential inauguration with a choir? Tell me about that.
Yeah, I'm a student at Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee. And back in 2012, we were asked to come and sing at Obama's second inauguration. So we, in January of 2013, we went to the inauguration. We sang about a 30-minute set of music just before the inauguration started on stage. And we sat right on stage, right as, President Obama gave his inaugural speech, and as Beyonce sang the national anthem and Kelly Clarkson sang, and that was an incredible, incredible experience for me.
Oh my God, just the names. Oh man, you got the president, you got Kelly Clarkson, you got Beyonce, and can it get any better? Oh my goodness. And
yeah,
now,
that was unbelievable.
Goodness, here you are. What were you at that time, about 17 or 18 or so? 15?
I think I was 18.
And what is this? 3 years later, you are on this international stage here called The Voice. So what was your journey to get to The Voice? I understand that your parents are musicians and singers. Did they encourage you, or was it friends and loved ones that encouraged you to try out?
Well, I have a very supportive friend group and a very supportive family. My family loves music, and so I've been involved with music my entire life, and then in college as well. And I've always loved The Voice. I've always loved the show, and ever since the beginning of the show, I've been an avid fan. And so I remember, you know, even 3 years ago when I first started, when my girlfriend and I first started dating, having conversations about, you know, oh, if I'm ever on The Voice, I would love to do this, or, you know, I would want to sing this if I was ever on the show. And so I remember having those conversations, and it's just been the support of my friends and family that has encouraged me and pushed me, and also the growth that I've experienced in college. You know, my college choir, the lead singers, we have traveled so much, and I've grown so much as a musician and a performer with them, that I just really felt that it was a good time for me to, you know, pursue this dream. And with their support backing me, I just, you know, I took that step forward, and it's really paid off for me. I've really enjoyed it.
So after The Voice is over, you know, whatever the outcome is, for you, are you planning on a career, definitely, we know, in music and singing, but is it recording, or do you want to do musical theater, Broadway style, or Vegas style, or just what genre do you want to go into?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what will happen after the show is over for me. I'm very open to lots of different things, and I'm very open to considering, you know, whatever opportunity presents itself. But I would love to record, and I would actually love to produce as well. And I would love to do studio work and perhaps, you know, get to perform and sing. But that's really where my heart is in the studio. I love that environment, and I love producing and helping other artists too. I think collaborating and putting heads together is the best way to, you know, to get things done. And so I'm really interested in that aspect of the industry.
So what are some really cool things that you're on Team Adam, that Adam has told you or advised you on so far?
Adam is extremely encouraging, and he's such a nice guy, and he has just made me feel so appreciated on his team and so important. You know, he made the comment in Blind Auditions that I was, you know, the most important person to be on the show. And while I don't necessarily know if I agree with that, I don't necessarily believe that's 100% true. I know there's been a lot of amazing artists come through, but I do appreciate that belief in me and that faith in me as a person. But I really feel that he's appreciated not only my voice and my music and my singing, but who I am and my story. And that's the most important thing to me. So I feel really valued there on his team. And, you know, he's constantly encouraging me and complimenting my high voice, because, you know, his voice is similar in that way. And he's really showing me how to feel the emotional side of the music. And I'm such a technical singer. Like, I want every note to be perfect, and I want, you know, every little technical thing to be correct. But he's really kind of showing me how to put the emotion behind the lyrics and to sing with passion and to give a performance that is well-rounded in both technical skill and in passion. And I appreciate that.
Well, I'm sure he appreciates that as well. Do you have a personal favorite Adam Levine song?
I'm trying to think if I have a favorite. I've been listening to him for so long, and I love so many of his songs. But I'm trying to think. Probably one of my favorite songs by him is Sunday Morning. It's such a good song. And I love to hear him sing it. He sings it so well.
Oh, yeah. My favorite is Animal. I just love that. I guess I'm too hardcore. But that's
a good
my
one too.
Favorite. That's a really good one. But really good one there. So, anyway, obviously your life will never be the same after The Voice is said and done. And, you know, looking at, you said you were a longtime fan of the show, and looking at it and dreaming one day that could be me. Now that it is you, are you surprised at just how much hard work it is being a contestant, all the behind the scenes stuff, or what?
I'm not exactly surprised, because I did expect it to be, you know, a lot of hard work. But it's a difficult challenge to rise to. There's a lot of hard work, a lot of long hours, and a lot of, you know, rehearsal and just hard work that goes into the entire process. And so as far as that goes, I've enjoyed it, but I've, you know, been pushed in ways that I didn't realize I could still grow. And it's been a great learning experience. But my favorite part of the whole thing has just been the people. Everyone has been so encouraging and so supportive. And I've made such good lifelong friends in the other contestants. And that's been the most rewarding part, is the relationships that I've garnished because of it.
Oh, yeah. I know that is priceless. Well, Jordan, right now we have Mark Hood on the line. Do you guys want to say good morning to each other?
Jordan, what's up, boy?
Mark, my boy.
Jordan, how's it going? Good to hear from you.
It's good. It's so good to hear from you. I've been, like, listening to your battle nonstop. It was so good.
Oh, my God, please. I just been listening to Chandelier nonstop. Plenty boys, I said, go ahead and sing it, Jordan. Sing it.
Oh, yeah, he's been doing it. Okay, we lost Jordan there, Mark. Well, Mark, hey, not only has Jordan been doing it, so have you. And, well, really all of you guys there. So here you are from the Windy City. You're with Team Pharrell, Mr. Happy Songs himself.
That's right. The best coach ever.
Oh, my goodness. That is so my song. I don't care where I am. If that song comes on, I just have to stop and get into it. But anyway.
I'm telling you.
So, you come from a heavily Christian church background. Your dad's a pastor. Your mom as a gospel choir director lady, and I know I come up in the in the church, so I know what that's all about. Okay, and then you've got this other side of you that I would have been stunned to know. Vice President of the Future Farmers of America.
I'm telling you.
I love it, Mark.
I was heavily involved in agriculture in high school. My high school was on a 100-acre farm, and we milked cows and had chickens and goats and picked corn. And, yes, I was the president of Future Farmers of America. It was a can't beat 'em, join 'em attitude. It was like we don't really have an arts program here. I knew I wanted to be a leader and work in that capacity. So I stepped up and said I ran and for office, and I won. And then, you know, didn't look back.
Oh, man. So you have all of this singing, music talent, and then after you get through singing, you know how to go out there and just milk a cow. That's okay.
I'm telling you, listen, or take a good old, take the temperature of a cow. You got to stick your whole arm up the behind. You know, I know all about that. So if you ever want to do that, let me know.
Oh, Mark, I didn't know that's how you took the temperature of a cow. Oh, goodness. I've learned something.
Yes.
Well, I did not know that.
Now you know.
Okay. Now I know. Mark Hood has taught me something today. You should share that with Pharrell.
You know what? I will share that with him. I see that threw you for a loop. I won't mention that to anyone else.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay. Now, I see what you know, in addition to, and I'm serious about the having the agricultural background, because I'm really, really into organic foods and farming and all that. That's really got my attention when I saw that. But you're an actor, and you've been on several major television shows. So what are some shows you've been on?
I've been on Chicago Fire, which is another NBC show. My favorite role to date would be I play Derek on Sirens, which is came on USA. It actually got canceled for a third season. They had two seasons. You know, it's such a sad day, but the crazy thing about it is I was coming back for season 3 on Sirens, and if I was, I would not have been able to do the voice. So them getting canceled, honestly, because we would be filming, like, you know, now, and I wouldn't be able to do the voice. So it was kind of crazy that it did get canceled. And I remember I was upset, like, oh, man, that was my job, season 3. But I got something great out the deal where I don't have to portray anyone else. It's time for people to know Mark, not this guy who Mark is playing. So I'm happy.
Well, that is a perfect example of the when one door closes, another one opens, and that is a great, great testimony of that. Absolutely. Okay. He is very good, very excellent good.
Yes.
As I said earlier, you're involved, church background, dad, PK, as they say, preacher's kid. Any blowback from, the church people for you not going into the full-time gospel music world or what?
Yes, absolutely. When I first started singing R&B, like when I was like 17 or 18, so like circa 2008-09, it definitely was some backlash. When I first got on the radio, it was like a issue, and the pastor's son is singing that mess and blah, 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 blah. Guess who didn't care? Me. I didn't care. I'm like, I'm doing my thing. Y'all going to get on with it eventually. And yesterday I walked into church and they all got to clapping. So now they're very supportive. So, they're okay.
I see. That's what I'm talking about. You just cannot let people run and rule and have that joystick can ruin your life.
Mm-mm.
You just can't do it. Can't do it. You cannot. So, okay. Well, hey, if mom and dad are cool about it, then there you go. And obviously your parents
exactly.
are cool about
My mom and dad, at the time I had to win them over too because they weren't really with it. They kind of had the attitude of not even really taking it serious. But then my mom really wasn't with it. Like, you don't need to be singing at it, blah, 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 blah. But I just knew that. I wasn't called to sing gospel music. Like some people, like it's a calling. And I wasn't called to sing. I was called to the world so that people could see Jesus' light on a different stage, And
Absolutely.
That's what makes me so happy about this show, Gwen Stefani and Pharrell. They were talking on the last episode, just like, Mark, there's this light shining in you. And that's what this is about, 15 million people seeing that light, 500 people in the church seeing it. That's what it's about.
Well, and to be honest with you, nowadays, a lot of, and you definitely know this better than I do, but so much of today's R&B gospel music, it sounds like R&B music. I mean, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Something to think about. Okay.
It is.
Like, okay, but what are you singing about?
Yes, thank you. Well, now, okay, Chicago, you're native of Chicago, and of course a lot of TV films and what have you take place there. But now that you're on The Voice, do you have plans on relocating to New York or L.A.? Are you going to stay in Chicago or what?
Yes, I am. Between New York or L.A., it's kind of whichever one offers the best opportunity. So, I feel like New York will be best for me because I'm a big theater actor, hashtag equity works. So, I can do Broadway there and I can do TV film. So I could be filming Law and Order during the day and then doing a Broadway show at night and then working on my album on the weekend. Kind of like I'm playing for the Jennifer Hudson effect. I want an Oscar, a Tony, a Grammy, and eventually an Emmy. That's what Mark Hood brings to the table.
Speaking of Jennifer Hudson, she's another Chicago person. Have you ever met her or performed? You have? Tell me about it.
I have not actually met or performed. No, I have met Jennifer Hudson before, but we haven't performed together. I hope that she somehow sees the show and recognizes a Chicago person or somehow, some way we connect. If I make it to the end of the show, eventually you sing with the A-lister, and she is one of the people on my list that I would love to sing with on the show, to bring her to The Voice to sing with me. So, I think it would be a great Chicago moment.
I do, too. Chicago's got a lot going on right now. The Cubbies, they lost yesterday, but we're going to still be cheering for them. Yeah, I'm proud of the Cubs.
That's right.
I'm not even from Chicago, but I'm just proud of them. They're fans. I love the Cubs fans. They're so sweet and patient.
Yes, and patient. Patient is the key
and
word.
Patient. anxious there. Well, okay, so with the voice here, do you, you know, and I love asking the the contestants as we go along, do you, you know, have big viewing parties for your appearances and such, looking at your friends and all that, or yourself, or what, when the show airs?
I actually don't. See, my ritual is for whenever I'm on TV, and so I like to watch myself completely alone. Anytime I'm on TV, most of the time I'm acting, but, you know, I like to watch myself alone. Now, on the first episode of The Voice, my family bogarted and came over and got on my nerves. Mm-hmm. But all the other times, I'm like, no company. I just want to sit and watch so I can hear what I'm doing, see what I'm looking like, you know, really.
Okay, we lost Mark. That was Mark Hood from Chicago, and now we only got 10 minutes with these wonderfully talented contestants, and so now we have our next guest here on the line right here all the way from Fayetteville, Arkansas, which I have been and had a great hamburger there once. Barrett Babers. Or is it Babers or Baber?
It's Baber. How are you, Janice?
I'm just great. We were yakking it up with one of your fellow contestants there, Mark Hood, before they cut him off. But you are with Team Blake, and just an amazingly talented person. Oh, gosh. Where do I start with all this talent you have? You received a voice scholarship to college. Oh, my God. Was it, what particular style of music were you singing? And was it country music or what?
Yeah, I got a scholarship, a vocal scholarship to a little college called Washtenaw Baptist University in South Arkansas, and that was on a choral, like a choral performance. So that was all based on singing classical music and singing, you know, arias and stuff in different languages, and so I was you know, that performance in high school choir sort of led to that opportunity for me, and that's what got me down there to study music and get my education on a voice scholarship.
So you are a guy that can just break out into an aria whenever you feel like it. That's awesome, Barrett. That's pretty awesome. So it's
yeah,
okay,
that doesn't happen very often.
It does. But see, I love the fact that if you just wanted to, if you just felt like it, you can do it. You've got that kind of talent. I mean, is there a big, big chunk of difference between singing opera style and country music style, or what, for you?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a difference as far as tone and you know, kind of delivery. But, you know, it's singing is singing, and a lot of the things that you learn when you study classical music as far as how to sing and where the breath comes from and sort of how to support your diaphragm and all the technical things that are really valuable across any genre as far as being a singer is concerned. You know, those things ring true in every genre and every style. So it's really a super, super valuable time for me and something, you know, that's really where I actually started to write songs and perform out with my guitar. And so, you know, while I was studying classical music and studying vocal performance, I was, you know, really starting to play frat houses and dive bars. And so all that stuff was happening simultaneously. And I think without question, you know, I wouldn't be the singer that I am today if I didn't go to OBU and study vocal performance and get some great coaching from some great professors.
Yeah, I bet just like with a lot of actors who get stage musicals, or whether it was musical stage or theater under their belt, it just makes them such a stronger actor for TV and film. And I'm sure opera singing is just, if you master opera, you can probably just do anything as far as music is concerned. And I just admire opera singers so much because it just seems like it's so difficult and you open your mouth and out it comes. Arias. Ta-da. Love it. Just so love it. So, okay, I love this about your early life, that your family moved to Durban, South Africa, and I understand that you really learned a lot about African harmony and singing. I mean, What was that like for you? And how long did you stay there from age 9 to what age?
I was in Durban, South Africa from when I was 9 to when I was about 13. And, you know, that was an amazing experience for me as a kid, you know, growing up in a completely different culture and learning a lot about sort of the world. And I think I probably, you know, that really blessed me musically in that I got, you know, exposed to a lot of music that wasn't, that, you know, that most 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds don't, you know, get to hear or are exposed to. But also is a super important thing for me just culturally to have a worldview of the planet that we live on and understand that there's just, it's so vast and there's so many different cultures and so many different kinds of music that really, when I came back to the United States, that really sort of was my mindset and moving there in the Delta of Arkansas right near Memphis, Tennessee, which is really a melting pot of musical influence. And so I was, you know, I kind of had an open mind and an open heart and was ready to hear and be exposed to any kinds of music. And I think that's kind of where this hybrid of vocal was born, in that, you know, I loved R&B and I loved country and I loved rock and I loved alternative, and all those things sort of blended together to make me who I am vocally. And I think that all started in Africa because I was forced to have an open mind and kind of see different cultures and understand, you know, what music meant no matter where you are in the world. I mean, it's certainly a universal language, and I learned that at a very early age.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can tell that influence. And being near, like you said, Memphis, with all the Stax and record label sound and the blues, the R&B and all of that, it is just life. And the barbecue, I can't leave that out if you talk about Memphis. Oh, please, never. that's always important to me. But okay, so a lot of the contestants on The Voice, they try out, you know, several times, at least once. And what about in your case? Did you try out more than one time, or is this your first time and you made it all the way, or what?
This is it. This is my first time, and I'm, you know, I was fortunate enough to really get a really good song that I could take and really make my own in Angel Eyes by the Jeff Healey Band, and it was a real honor to sing that song and do it justice. Such a monster hit.
You did.
And fortunate to have coaches turn for me and you know, Blake Shelton turn for me, and so it's been an incredible ride, man. I got to tell you, it's been something special. I've had a blast so far.
When the coaches started turning, the first year and on like that, what was the first thing? Did you want to just pass out and start speaking in tongues or something? Or were you just, I always wonder when you guys are on stage and it's such a big stage and that first chair turns, I don't know if I could continue singing the song. I would be so excited. What about in your case?
Yeah, you know, that happens to a lot of contestants. It's a difficult thing for them to continue and continue well because they're so excited. But, you know, for me, I was just relieved. I was like, okay, cool. So that's over. Now I don't have to worry about that anymore. You know, now let me just do what I do. And it happened early enough for me where in my head I just thought, all right, I'm about to clown on this song now. Like, I'm about to prove these guys right. Like, they took a chance on me super early in the song, and I want them at the end of the song, like, now they're turned around, let me see what I can do to get them up on their feet. And so, you know, it was a lot of fun. I had some really great moments in that tune, and was really, really proud of how the you know, performance came out, and happy to be on Team Blake.
Oh, dude, you did it. Yeah, you really said, okay, let me take it all the way from 0 to 120 now. Put the pedal to the metal there. That should have been a lot of fun. Cause I know it's probably a big relief pressure off of you. Once that chair starts turning, you can just let it go, let it rip, and you did.
Yeah, it really is. It's a great feeling, an incredible feeling to see those chairs turn and know, all right, my journey's going to continue no matter what happens. Now let me just, like, give them some good TV.
Oh, absolutely. So tonight, going to grab pizza, hot wings. What's going to happen? It's your place.
Well, I'm just gonna. I love watching the shows, even ones that I'm not in. You know, because I know all these people so well, and I've got to spend so much time with them. So I'll sit and watch the show and live tweet and kind of talk about some of the behind the scenes stuff that I know about people and what kind of people they are, and it's a lot of fun to see your friends succeed, and it's a little sad to see the ones that you love go home, but you know, it's the nature of the game, and we all know what we're involved in here, so it's that's what I'll do. I'll sit and watch the show and just enjoy the success of my friends.
So you're going to be live tweeting. How can people jump in there with you and live tweet back with you?
They can follow me at Barrett Baber, or my Facebook fan page is Barrett Baber Music, and would love to have any of your listeners come along and jump on the Baber train and follow me. And I have a lot of fun on social media and do a lot of Periscopes and fun videos and stuff.
Wow.
So everybody go follow me. It's a lot of fun.
All right, Barrett, thank you so much for giving us that insight, and just a great, great career you've had at such an early age, only 35. You're still a baby, so compared to some of us. Not me, but but anyway, congratulations on getting this far in The Voice, and you know, we'll jump in there and live tweet with you tonight. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Y'all have a great week.
Okay, thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Okay. Good, really cool guy. All of these contestants are really cool, but they're very talented. They're very positive and upbeat. And, hey, I would be, too, if I was in this round of the competition on The Voice. But that's Barrett Baber. He's originally from Fayetteville, Arkansas. He's on Team Blake. And he has a multidimensional style voice. Dude can sing opera. And for those of you who really know me, I just have this fascination with opera and opera singers, especially the singers, because it's such a complex sounding, it's beautiful, but to shape and twist and get your voice to make those amazing sounds, it's just fascinating to me. And for, you know, a singer to be able to go from singing opera to, oh, I don't know, it's just something I've always been fascinated with. Well, we have our next guest here. She is on the line. We're talking about the one and only Miss Regina Love. Good morning, Miss Regina.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am just having a ball here talking with some of your fellow contestants. Just finished chatting with Barrett Baber and Mark Hood and
Barrett, Mark, yes. Family.
we got you on board. With Team Gwen, but you were originally with Team Adam, and
yes,
you and Mark Hood, both of you guys have that rich gospel background in your singing repertoire here.
Yes.
But before I get to that, do you mind me saying your age, or do you want me not to say it?
Honey, I don't mind. That's why I'm here, to let people know that dreams can and will come true, no matter how old you are, what you've gone through in life.
That's what I love about your story. She is, and you don't look age 51, but you're here. I mean, you don't look. And I was like, is that a typo? Is it 31?
You know what? It was so funny because I was in way out in Georgia, and I'm telling you, it's like the cutest little man. He says, "Hey, I know you. You're 51 years old. You're Regina Love." He said, "You don't look a day over 29." I said, "You rocked on The Voice." I said, "You know, you never know who's watching." But I was so grateful. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, we all know that the entertainment and modeling and all that is a youth oriented business. But there are exceptions like you. When you told people, "I am going to go try for The Voice," what was their reaction?
You know, I really didn't tell a lot of people. Because, sometimes, like, why do you want to do that? No, you know what? I just decided this is something that I want to do. And whatever God lets happen, I'm grateful. And then when they see, then they'll see, you know. I told a couple of people, they were like, go for it. Go for it. Go for it. And you got to be careful sometimes who you tell your little dreams to. You know that.
Oh, I do know about all of that. Believe me. So how difficult was it to keep this a secret for? Because you guys are, when you advanced this far, you're out there for several months. So how did you keep that a secret?
Let me tell you, it is totally. Oh my goodness, I don't know how I made it through, but I made it through. I'm making it through day by day because, you know, people constantly ask you. And I'm like, you got to stay tuned. You got to watch. You got to tune into, hey, follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram, you know, Facebook. And
well,
the show.
Some of the contestants, like Barrett said, he's going to be doing live tweeting tonight during the show. Are you going to do any live tweeting or what?
I do it every show.
Oh, every show.
Show.
So
before
what's your
the
Twitter
show,
handle?
And you know, it my Twitter is I am Regina Love.
Can't miss that. I am Regina Love, folks. So you're going to be live tweeting.
And it's also my Instagram. I am Regina Love.
Okay. Now you also are a radio talk show host. What's the name of your show, and how can we listen to you, and what have you?
It's the Regina Love Show. Don't you just love it? And I'm on BE100Radio.com. That's my tagline. Don't you just love it?
Don't you? And
it's
I know you're
inspirational.
Show. Just loving it. Oh, it's special.
Well, oh my goodness! Yes, I love them. I love them.
They are so proud of you.
Yes, I am just so grateful to be here and to be with all of the contestants, and we're like family. And I just, people ask, no, it's a competition, but I know it's a competition, but this group of people here, I don't know about the other groups, but we're like family.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. And we've been talking with contestants each season, ever since The Voice first started, and we always hear the family camaraderie between the contestants and the tears when somebody has to go home. It's,
oh my goodness. You would not believe the tears.
Oh, the tears. Well, right now you are still in the running, and that's all that counts. You're here.
Yes.
So did you try out for the show any time before now, or that other show, you know, that Idol show? Did you ever try for any other similar shows or what?
You know, I already knew that the Idol show, they had, like, age limits, I think, on that show, and I never tried out for American Idol. Mm-mm.
That's right. They do have that age limit. I forgot about that. So it was, The Voice or nothing. And
it was
here.
The Voice. It was The Voice. I've always loved The Voice. Because it's just a classy show. I mean, and I love, first of all, the coaches. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I love them all. I mean, all of the coaches, even the past and the present. I love them all. And I'm just so grateful to be on the show with all of the coaches that I have now. I love all of them so much.
So you...
It's amazing. You
started off with Team Adam. And now you're with Team Gwen. Is there a big difference or what?
You know, I love girl power, but I love Adam as well. I've learned so much from both of them, you know, and that's what I'm grateful for, to be able to learn from each one. You know, each one has planted a seed. So I think I'm having the best of all the worlds, you know.
I would say you are, for sure, and
because they're different. You know, they're different.
Yeah, they are. They have different styles, but they all are superstars, and they know what they're doing, obviously. And they're sharing the wealth of knowledge with all of you amazing contestants here. Okay, you have 12 siblings? Wow.
I have a lot of family members. I mean, they're all musically inclined. Our family is, oh, my goodness. So it's like I was the baby of the family.
Oh, my gosh.
So you know how intimidating that is? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
When Olivia, my mother was a singer before me.
So I was singing in the womb. She's also started the first African-American radio station in Memphis, Tennessee with B.B. King, WDIA, which she's in the Gibson Museum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, and she's in the Music Hall of Fame. Her group was the original Songbirds of the South.
And what was the name of her group?
The Songbirds of the South.
Oh, the Songbirds of the South. Okay, I thought they were known.
Mm-hmm. Which Ballad and Ballad Flower were their sponsors. And that's Pillsbury Doughboy Company now today.
So you just, there is no way music was going to bypass your DNA at all.
There's no way. Yes.
you got to be here. There's no way. Oh, my God. Well, we are happy. The world is happy that you are here. And to further, we're going to try to get this done right. Ellie, are you there? We have for your teammate. Oh, we lost her. Ellie, we had Regina Love online. We wanted you guys to say hello, but we lost her. So we'll say hello to you. Good morning.
Hello, how are you?
I'm just great. I'm delighted to be able to chat with you and to chat with Regina and Mark Love and Barrett Babers. I don't want to call him Babers, but it's Babers. But anyway, you and Regina are both on Team Gwen.
Yeah.
And both of you are Georgia ladies there. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You're from Crandall, Georgia, and I understand that the population is just about 300. So what's cool about Crandall, Georgia? Tell me, is there a place I can get a good old ice cream cone or good old peach pie or what's going on in Crandall?
You know, Crandall is a slow and easy, quiet little town, but it is just a hop and a skip away from Ellijay, Georgia, where it's the apple capital, and they just had their apple festival, so you go up there and get a good old apple dumpling, which is amazing. So you can head to Chattanooga, but the best thing I love about Crandall is it's just slow and easy. Nothing happens there. I like it.
Well, I'm sure that all of the 302 or 3 population of people definitely are watching Miss Ellie Lawrence on The Voice. You know, have they given you the key to the city yet or what?
No, but like I did get it in the newspaper, which is awesome, which, like, you know, not many people read that, but, you know.
Well, hey, that's very good. That is very, very good. Well, now,
I'm in the paper for something good.
And hey, you keep advancing. They may have to start having you in every week. You know, you'll become your own reality show saga there.
Oh, Lord have mercy. That would be so much fun.
That would be awesome. Now, I understand that you have a brother that has a band that has opened for Willie Nelson and Luke Bryan. Have you ever, once upon a time, sang with the band or what?
We have played together. We haven't done it very often because the very first time we ever did a duet together, it was at my piano recital whenever I was about 7. And we were playing The Entertainer, which, if you're not familiar with that piece, it's very fast. And my brother was playing the fiddle, and he was very mad that he had to play with his little sister, so he sped it up, and I couldn't keep up with him. So I just ended up slamming my hands on the piano, calling him a butthead, and walking off the stage, and we never played with each other since until last year. And my mom was so nervous. She's like, oh, Lord, I was waiting for y'all to start fighting. But it was so much fun. He's so talented. But, you know, that sibling rivalry comes in, and we fight a little bit. So we don't really play together often because I have a bad temper. So we might do it now that we're older, but we'll see.
Well, hey, now that you're on The Voice, you should really revisit that whole idea. I think it'll go over really well. I think it will.
Yeah, in the future, if you mean to me, I can just pop him real quick and be like, I'm on TV. Be nice to me. Boop. Hit him. Don't tell him I said that. Oh, Lord, my mom will kill me.
Oh, but I know he's so proud of you. Who's the youngest, you or him?
I'm a middle child. He's the older brother. We're all 2 years apart. It's him and me and my baby sister.
Okay, so he's big brother. So I know big brother is proud of little sister here. I mean, who wouldn't be?
He is. I think he brags on me, then he brags about himself, and that's saying something about him. So that it makes me feel really good. I have a really good support system at home.
Well, so what did I mean? I know people know you not only by your music, but by the blue hair. So what? When did this start? How long have you done this?
Jen, oh, I'm sorry, part of it broke out. Was my hair, or how long have I done music?
How long have you done the blue hair?
Oh, Lord. Well, it's been off and on for the last couple of years. You know, I like to do something different, and I wanted to change something. I wanted something different, and I dyed my hair blue, and it just seemed like it just was meant to be. And it just, I felt prettier. I loved it. I loved the attention that I got. And I don't think I'll ever go back to being brunette. It just gives me, it makes me feel good. It's like when you buy new makeup and, you know, you put it on. And it's like, oh, no, I feel like a lady. I feel like a mermaid when I have my hair blue. So.
Well, it is definitely doing wonders for your career, obviously, because people, you know, even if they say, well, I remember her music and she sang, I can't think of her name, but she does have that blue hair. So, yeah,
exactly.
It's
working. See?
Yeah,
smart.
It's working.
Good.
Yeah, it is working. And I think it's a good tagline for your image. And it's definitely for your Instagram pages and all of that, for sure. So.
Yeah.
Having said that, did you have people encourage you to try out for The Voice, or did you just watching it for so long and say, I think I want to do this, I want to try this out, or how did you get there on the stage?
I had watched the show for a while, and I always wondered what it was like to be, you know, in their shoes. You know, you would just try to put yourself there and, like, imagine how fun it would be. But I never thought it would happen just because so many talented people do that. And I just never felt like I was good enough. And, you know, my family is the one that really pushed me to go. I had auditioned back in 2013 just at open calls and didn't make it through. And it did discourage me. I knew I wasn't ready. But when I went this time, like, you know, my whole family was like, you have to do this. We know you can get through. And I was there on the shoulders of my family. If I had not been for them, I would not have made it this far. They give me, they're my strongest support system, and they lift me up when I'm down. And they're my best friends. I couldn't do it without them.
That is so sweet. I know when you got the word, where were you when you first got the word that you had made it through to the television rounds, just, you know, the knockout, not the knockouts, the duets and all of that. I mean, you knew you were going to L.A. Where were you when you first got that news?
When they first called me about the blind auditions to fly me out, because that's 3 hours behind us here in Georgia, and it was 9 o'clock at night here, and I was going, I'll go to bed early. I'm an old lady. I go to bed early and wake up early.
Oh, geez.
And they called, and I thought it was a bill collector, and I was like, well, I'm not going to answer this phone number because I ain't got no money to give them right now. But I'm glad I did because, you know, they told me, they're like, you know, they're flying me out for the blind auditions, and I just threw the phone and started screaming, and I felt like, oh, I got to pick up the phone. I got to get the details from her. But it was the most surreal experience because I just went numb. I was like, this can't be happening, and it was just the most amazing, like, phone call of my life. Like, I just can't even talk about it.
I've talked to a lot of singers. I've asked them, where were you when you got that first phone call? And so many of them say, I thought I was being punked. I really did.
You never think it would happen in a million years.
But it did, and you are here. And thank God you're here. We love it. So any advice to people who are thinking about trying out for The Voice? You know, what should they be doing, like, right now? They're watching you. So what should they be doing if they think they want to try out for the next open call or something?
The biggest piece of advice I could give someone trying out would be, you know, be open to change. Don't go into it thinking, okay, you know, you can have an idea who you are as an artist, but the thing that I've learned the most is that the more I'm able to bend and learn from the coaches and learn from my competitors, the more I've been able to grow. So if you go in with a mindset like I'm just going to soak in every single minute of this that I can and learn, and you'll go a lot further than you believe, because these people want you to do well. And if you listen to them and you learn and you have an open mind, then you're going to go really far in competition. So just to stay open and keep a learning mind.
And so what does, I don't think much, a lot. So what is one or two pieces of advice that your team coach has told you? You mentioned learning, that team of Gwen Stefani has told you.
Yes. Gwen really focused with me about opening my eyes and connecting with the audience. Because, you know, I'm used to playing little dive bars, and no one, you don't have to put on a performance. You're just there to play background music. And, you know, the thing that she taught me was to have that spunk on stage and to really perform. Because if you don't perform and draw the crowd in, no one's going to listen to you. And that was a huge thing that she would beat into my head, like, you have to open your eyes, you have to connect with the audience. Because if you're not making it relatable, they're not going to be drawn in. And that's something that I walked away from with Gwen, that you just have to perform. And it's hard for me, but I'm learning.
Very, very good advice from Gwen. Okay, we just lost her. Oh, so sorry. We only get 10 minutes. But we now have our final contestant, our final guest. We just finished talking with Ellie Lawrence, who is on Team Gwen. And now we have James Dupree, who is on Team Adam. Good morning, James.
Good morning. How are you?
Hello. There he is. We're great. We're great. I am anxious to know. I grew up in Houston, so I'm very familiar with Louisiana, you know, southern part especially. You are from Bayou Chico or Chico, Louisiana? Am I pronouncing that correctly or what?
Almost. Bayou Chico. It's Bayou Chico is a French term.
Okay. And where is this located? Is it near Houma or New Iberia? Where is it located?
It's near Ville Platte, which is about an hour north of Lafayette. It's like between Lafayette and Alexandria.
Okay. Definitely been to Alexandria and Lafayette for sure. So good old Cajun country, good old Cajun food to match it. Oh, I'm so there for the food. Yes.
Oh, I know. It's amazing. I love it. There's really nothing else quite like it.
It isn't. It is not. Well, let's get to you here. You are a paramedic, a very good singing paramedic at that. So how did this, I mean, did you still have time to do paramedic work, or is it you just going full steam ahead with the music now, or what?
Yeah, I actually worked as a paramedic for 6 years up until 2011. I moved from Louisiana to Nashville, and basically have been, you know, focusing on a music career full time.
Okay. Well, I lived in Nashville for a number of years, very familiar with Nashville, so I'm absolutely sure there. And so I see where you have appeared on some TV shows. Can you tell us a couple of them or so?
I was on The Ellen Show in 2010. That's really what you know, jump-started everything. You know, actually, I got a record deal right after that at the end of 2010. And it was amazing. You know, I was just some guy in my house. I wasn't even performing, really. I was just making YouTube videos when I wasn't working. And I put up over like 100 YouTube videos, and anyway, Ellen somehow or another saw one of my videos, and the show contacted me, and I thought it was a joke, you know. I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And they were like, "Yeah, can we get you out here next week? And you know, Ellen would love to have you perform on the show." I was like, "What is happening?" that was quite a whirlwind.
Oh my God! So you're just this guy being a dad and a husband, and you just in Nashville minding your own business. Boom, Ellen's producers call you. Whew, James.
Exactly.
Okay, you give all of us hope. gosh. Okay. And so after that kind of died down, did you, I mean, that must have given you a lot of vote of confidence to say, let me, you know, really put it in full gear to pursue this music thing, or what happened next for you?
Yeah, you know, it basically went from a hobby to something I was seriously considering as a career. And so, you know, it really gave me that motivation to kick it up a notch. And so I got a band and, you know, started performing small shows and then worked our way up to bigger nightclubs and things. And then I got a record deal offer from Warner Music Nashville. And so I was signed there for 4 years up until the end of last year. And after that, I decided, you know, what's next? A buddy of mine told me, hey, The Voice is, you know, auditioning soon for their next season. And I was like, you know, that's a great idea. You know, I mean, why not?
Yeah, for sure. Look how much luck you've had with this TV thing here for you. And gosh, here you are. Here you are. So, you know, with you being, you know, a Nashville resident, a lot of people would think that you would be on Team Blake, but you're on Team Adam. So was that a big, you know, which one should I go with, which one for you, or what? Big decision or what?
Yeah, it's huge, you know. I mean, and really, there was no question in my mind before I went up there, you know, if Blake turned around, I'm going to pick Blake. And then, you know, I told myself, you know what, be in the moment and make that decision after you hear what all four coaches had to say, and then make the decision. And, you know, they all said some really great things, but I just felt like Adam really understood my sound. You know, I mean, he made that James Taylor reference, and that's one of the things that won me over, because, you know, I love James Taylor, and for him to say he hears some of that influence in my voice meant a lot to me. And so, you know, I knew that I was going to, if I picked Blake also, you know, I would have been up against a lot of other country singers, and I kind of wanted to stand out a bit on Team Adam.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Blake has an amazing track record of wins here on The Voice, but hey, Adam, he's kind of no slouch either. So, have you ever performed any of Adam's songs in your career, just so far, or what?
I haven't, you know, and it's not that, you know, I love a lot of Maroon 5 stuff, and it's just, I guess, vocally, Adam is way high up there in the register, and I guess I've always kind of been intimidated to try to sing those songs.
Well, yeah, that is for sure. He's got that high range. Earlier when we first started talking this morning to you guys, I talked to, what was that, Jordan Smith, that I think it's,
yeah.
Jordan. Yes, Jordan, that has a high range, vocal range, and he was saying how he and Adam both have that same pitch, and it was a lot easier for him to sing Adam's style of song, so it makes a lot of sense. But see, when you're speaking voice, you kind of sound like Blake Shelton when you're talking. So that's why I was saying, like, you really do. You kind of have twinges of the word when Blake is talking. You kind of sound like him, but you probably have heard that before, I'm sure, or have you?
Yeah, once or twice.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever wanted to, you know, punk somebody on the phone, you know, you could do that as Blake real well. I'm not encouraging.
I'll just put like a little Oklahoma twang in there.
Yeah, that Cajun Oklahoma blend there. Hey, you could do it. You could do it, James. I really believe it. So, okay, tonight I've talked to a lot of your fellow contestants, and a lot of them are going to be doing some live tweeting during tonight's show. Are you going to do any live tweeting, or you got other plans, or what?
No, yeah, I mean, basically Monday and Tuesday nights are you know, stay at home and watch The Voice nights, you know. So, yeah, I'll definitely be live tweeting and, you know, try to stay very active on social media and, you know, interact with the fans. You know, that's very important. And I love you know, learning who my fans are, especially the new ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, if people want to live tweet right along with you, what is your Twitter handle there?
I'm on Twitter at James Dupre, just exactly how my name is spelled.
Just how it's spelled. And that's with one E, not two, because I do know some people spell their Dupre with two E's, just one. But we can't get that
correct.
Confused. So anyway, James, do I have 1 minute? I don't have 1 minute. I'm going to ask anyway. What do you want to say to people out there who are thinking about trying out for the Voice? What do you want to say to them?
You know, there's nothing to lose. You know, I mean, there's so much to gain from the experience, even if you don't make it on the show at all. You know, I mean, there's so much to learn about how all of this works, and it gives you the motivation to, you know, if you really want to take it seriously and do it, you know, do it as a career, you know, this will do it.
Oh my God, yes. Talking about something great on the resume. Gosh.
Yeah.
But, oh man. But anyway, we're going to join you guys. Our show is going to live tweet with all of you guys, as many as we can find that are live tweeting tonight, to say hello. We want to thank you, James, for being on our show. We want to thank all of your fellow contestants for being our guest, and we're going to be live tweeting with you tonight. So good luck with the rest of the competition.
Excellent.
And thank you for being here this morning. I love it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Okay, sure then. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, we are running out of time. In fact, we are like a minute over time here. But we want to thank every last one of our contestants from Season 9, The Voice. This is part one, because guess what? We're going to do it all over again tomorrow morning with some new guests who have advanced this far in the competition. For this show, we want to thank Tim Atlas, Dustin Christensen, Zach Seaball, Jordan Smith, Mark Hood. I'm going to say Hughes. Mark Hood from Chicago, Barrett Baber, Regina Love, Ellie Lawrence, and James Dupree for all being our guests here on part one of our salute to the wonderfully talented people from The Voice. And you know what? Because we have been doing this for 9 consecutive seasons, which as that's how long The Voice has been coming on. We're going to do it all again tomorrow. Tomorrow's guests will be Keith Simple, Chris Krupp, Yvonne Acero, Coda Wade, Jeffrey Austin, Sienna M., and Maddie Davis. And we're going to crank it all up, and we're going to start it off about this same time tomorrow, about 8 a.m., Central Time Live, right here on Film Festival Radio Show. We always have fun doing this. We hope that you enjoy listening to it. I think you do, because we get such great ratings whenever we do these shows, and we really do appreciate you guys for listening. So we'll see you tomorrow about the same time when part two of our continued conversations, our mini chats, with the advancing round of singers from The Voice. So get out there this Monday. Make it a great rest of the Monday morning saga. It's like a saga sometimes on the Mondays. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.